B-Pod Studios.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
Buddy, I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now Tarasenko in the near corner. Centered, fired, they score! Braden Shen on the one-timer low in the slot. It beat Rask. It kissed off the far post. 3-0 Blues, 8:35 remaining in regulation.
Now everything's all jammed up. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ty Anderson covers the Bruins. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich. Buddy, I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now Tarasenko in the near corner. Centered, fired, they score! Braden Shen on the one-timer low in the slot. It beat Rask. It kissed off the far post. 3-0 Blues, 8:35 remaining in regulation.
Now everything's all jammed up. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ty Anderson covers the Bruins. 98.5thesportshub.com.
Boy, something is kind of going on with Xanadu. He just tweeted me a picture that says, no beard and I'm wearing flannel. Something has gone wrong.
Whoa. No beard?
Went home me he was and shaved. And
you told me that at 1 o'clock in the morning he tweeted something out?
Oh, yeah, he did. So yesterday at 1 in the morning, after that horrible loss, he put it, my job, I have three words I can use to describe any situation and not get in trouble. Quote, room for growth. The Bruins showed room for growth and have no more time to grow. This sucks. When I move to the anger stage of dealing with grief, watch out. Poor Xana dude. Oh, you're going to take this? Okay.
Yeah, that's all right. Ryan, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing today?
Hi, I hope you have your affairs in order.
Yeah, you had me on hold. I was listening to the, it's Brian, by the way, B as in Bruin.
Sorry, man. Listen, there's
Ryan O'Reilly, whatever the hell that guy is.
Listen, Bird, his head is very red. He's under a lot of stress. All right, go ahead.
But I didn't realize, guys, and I listen to you every morning when I'm driving a concrete truck. We're off today, it's raining. But anyway, to the point, I didn't realize Joe Thornton was wearing number 63 last night. At least Joe Thornton had an excuse. He had broken ribs. That disgrace with the big nose getting off the ice looks like a big Pinocchio. That's absolutely ridiculous. And Pukarask, he played fantastic. He is not to blame at all.
Yeah, Marchand was weird. He played so poorly, it was weird.
Did he call him Pukarask sarcastically?
Yeah, he did. All right. Yes. But then he said that he liked it.
Well, listen, I mean, Ty, all morning long, we've been trying to figure out, like, who's to blame. And really, to be quite honest, all of us know who's to blame.
Hi, this is Catherine Tappan, star of Nessun.
Star of Nessun. Everything is
awesome. Get the duck boats ready. After 39 long years, the cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions. Stanley Cup champions.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Dale Arnold.
Backhander and a big St. Thomas rebound score.
Joel Ward on the follow-up bid wins the game for the Capitals. The Capitals put an end to the Bruins season.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
Time expires, and the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions in 2013.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Rust will send it all the way down, wide of the empty net, and that's it.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
And the Bruins season comes to an end at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens.
Dale Arnold.
The St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
She left out the crock of crap part because it's a crock of crap.
That was a curse.
You ever see Boss Baby?
Yeah.
He reminds me of Boss Baby.
Like Dale Arnold reminds you of Boss Baby?
Like a little guy in a suit acting all grown up.
I mean, listen, the minute we have enough evidence now, the minute he took over for Catherine Tappan's spot, something's been going wrong with his team. Like, they've gotten close. They've gotten right there. And then fluky stuff in 2013, we saw that. Two goals in just a matter of seconds. Boom, boom, boom. This team gets to game seven, and all of a sudden, where the hell are the guys who are supposed to score? And they get outplayed by a rookie in net. I'm telling you, there's enough evidence now. There's only one person to blame, and that guy is the dude standing on the box doing the Nesson post game.
Yep. He's got his hairdo. Everything.
He does have a hairdo.
You think it's changed since the Great War? He's had that. The Silver Fox has been chugging around since, you know, you had to.
There's a crank up the jalopy.
No, there was like a.
Is that what you said?
No, you had the
you can car you want as long
steel,
as it's a
there was a metal shortage. Women had to enter the workplace. Because the boys were all overseas.
Oh, is that what it is? All right.
Indeed. They all used to play with the hoop and the stick. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, so I wasn't going to bio. All I wanted to really say is all these people that are calling up, crying, oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. How many championships does Boston have since the year 2000? 12, 13? I don't know. I come from an area, Philadelphia. I've only seen two championships my whole life.
That's right. That's right.
You guys are so spoiled that you don't even realize it.
That's how are people supposed to act? How are people supposed to act, Tom?
Philadelphia sucks. Philadelphia.
Here we go.
Philadelphia is the home of one Ed Baim.
Yeah, get a goalie.
My father-in-law.
You want to talk about bad goaltending? My God. Look at the Philadelphia Flyers last 25 years.
Yeah, guy.
We were saying this morning, though.
Philadelphia guy who called.
Whatever you want to say about Philadelphia, even worse than both of the Stanley Cup losses that won in 2010. The one when they were up three games.
That was the most painful.
That was the worst.
Oh, no. They were up three games to nothing, and then they were up three goals.
You knew that team was going to get waxed, whether it was that round or the next round. They sucked.
Wasn't that the... Didn't they win the trophy? What's it called? When they win the most games.
President's Trophy.
Didn't they win the President's Trophy?
No, that was 2014 they did that. And then they came close in 2009 when they lost to the Hurricanes.
It might be
the
nine.
The Hurricanes was bad.
That was bad. 2010, they got in on the final day of the regular season. Like, that wasn't a good team.
Right.
It was really up three games.
Yeah, and up three goals in seven.
That's what made it easier. You saw it coming from a mile away. When they tied up that series 3-3, I was like, oh, that's over. It still stung, but I thought it was established what that team was at that point. This team last night, legitimate championship team, better than the opposition if they played their level.
Top five record in the NHL during the regular season. What are they, fourth, third, something
like that? Who, the Bruins?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. This year? And I mean,
I just think the way they lost was a little bit bad. I mean, we can go
what,
on.
Last night?
Just they lost in the first period. Like, you knew that you had a lot of time just to stew, you know?
I thought last night was probably the worst loss of this entire run. I really do believe that. It's just
In terms of Bergeron era? In terms of the way they played, yes. In terms of the heartbreak of it,
and we're sitting here, we're praising Binnington and rightfully so in a few saves, but they kept shooting into his chest. But from once they were down by a goal, they just kept shooting at his chest. And it's like, all right, well, he's going to stop that every time, guys. You got to maybe pick a corner here if you can.
All right, George, go ahead.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
What's up, man?
Just want to hop on, just support Tuukka here. So I feel like everyone who's pretty much anti-Tuukka, one, they're not either goalie guys or hockey guys. I'm a college hockey guy myself. But the thing
Why
did you hang up on that guy?
Because college hockey guy.
I know. Here's the thing. I'm a soccer coach. Yes, I know.
Make that a t-shirt.
We did.
And there's no
about four
big
of them.
Sellers. I don't even know. That came out of the blue. I have no idea why hockey is the one sport that people have to legitimize by
saying that they played or that they're a coach.
And they're exclusionary, too. He said, you didn't play the game. I played the game. You clearly know nothing.
No, I see what Fred's doing here. Fred is leaving the people who hate Tuukka Rask on long, and people who want to support him, he's hanging up on. He's trying to make my life hell.
Well, I mean, if they argue with you, it's better, but
it's a little more entertaining.
But I'm
not a radio thing we're worried about here.
I can't.
I don't know if you have to worry about that.
I learned about in about 2009 that I was fed up with. I played hockey. All right, let's see here. Okay, Greg, go ahead.
Hey, I'm curious how you guys how the fan base sounded last night on the telecast. I'm in Loge 3, and, you know, I'm a season ticket holder. Love my son's the kid that rips his shirt off, goes on my shoulders every game. And I've got yuppies and all these Fairweather fans coming in behind us saying, sit down. We're trying to get the place juiced up. It got to the point where the usher and Boston police came down and threatened people that were standing during the game. I couldn't believe it that my 9-year-old and myself had to witness the police telling people to sit down during a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. That happened. It's a fact. And I'm embarrassed for Boston.
You know what I'm always pissed at is that when people who are saying, how come the crowd's not up for this game? They need to get into it and get them back into the game. If you're in a game like that and the team's giving you nothing to cheer, what, are you going to stand up and yell the entire time like a maniac? No, you don't do that. I mean, after that second goal was scored, like, they were showing, like, the montage of, like, you know, Curt Schilling on the mound. And we were like, all right, you're going to show that weirdo? And, like, it was like, no one wanted to get up for anything, you know, because they gave him nothing to cheer.
It was the
most joyless game I've attended probably ever.
Make noise. Score a goal.
Yeah, right. Just shut up and score a goal. Like, they played Stand Up and Shout. They were down
fake
three.
Song.
Yeah, they were right by what's it called?
Steel
Dragon. They were down like 3-0. It's like, stand up and shout. We're like, F you. No.
I will say this. These playoff games, the championship rounds, I mean, unless you luck into tickets, it's always a wine and cheese kind
of
crowd.
That's the other part of it in the lower bowl.
Yeah.
I don't even understand. I don't understand why you would pay that kind of money.
That place wanted to explode, though, last night.
No, they did.
I mean, during the pregame and stuff, I mean, it was pretty amped up.
Yeah, it wasn't loud on TV after they scored.
John, of course
go
not.
Ahead. No, it was not loud. John, go ahead.
The curse of Lord Joe Murray's cup. Dale Arnold's curse is gone. You guys dared to lift that cup, and this is what happened. Shame on you.
I did not sign it.
I didn't either.
I didn't know. I didn't know people were signing it, but guess who put their nickname on there?
Oh, no.
Mike, in quotation, Sarge Riley.
Oh, Jesus, God.
Old Charge.
Something that no one will ever see.
Lord Murray's cup.
Damn it.
Lord Murray's cup.
Ty, you didn't sign that thing, did you?
No. Okay. It's a water bottle with tinfoil on it.
Yes,
why am I going to sign that?
Correct.
It's a bong. You didn't know that.
By the way, you didn't get to hear it. It was pretty great. I almost think that we should just go through it. So Dan Livshatz, the Bankroll Boys, Livshatz and Joe Murray did overnights last night from midnight to 4 in the morning. And it was phenomenal.
Like, really?
Because like at the 3 o'clock hour, they were getting loopy, and people were calling in and just they were dumping everybody. Like it was like F bomb after F bomb, and just like Joe Murray just started like there was one break where I think he just laughed for about 10 minutes straight.
Joe, like, we got a 9-4.
And when Livshatz laughs, you can't tell because it sounds like he's joking.
Yeah,
I got a voice for radio.
You can Livshatz. You could never see him before if they put him in a lineup. You might be able to point him out.
That's a good point. Just say, "Hey, where's Bluto?"
Joe Murray has got these massive forearms, and there's some real skinny chick in the middle of them. All right.
Some woman called in to Adam
Sarge
Jones.
Sarge is wimpy.
I was told that some woman called in to Adam Jones last night and complained that she spent all her money on black and gold balloons and it was wasted last night.
Well, that's a fair complaint. If that's my number one complaint, I had a good night.
Right? You're doing okay.
I'm like, oh, my hopes and dreams just died. But yeah, that's cool. Your balloons are a problem, I suppose.
All right. So we'll be.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
All right. I don't, this is because I don't think we can talk to them off air. If you're with Comcast, please, enough with the lights.
None of us slept much last night, and the lights are blinding us right now.
Yeah, I mean, why are they work. I don't know. They work. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's very nice of you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. By the way, I don't know if the weather's supposed to get nice later on today. Is it? It's not?
No, it's supposed to get worse.
Well,
actually,
life is a nightmare.
Well, maybe it makes it a little more appropriate, because I'm wondering if any of you wanted to go up like an hour north of here to Canobie Lake Park, you might see a certain 6'9" gentleman riding the Rooster of Doom like he did the day after the loss in 2013. Still one of the greatest photographs ever taken. Zdeno Chara, after they lost the Stanley Cup to the Chicago Blackhawks, just said, screw it, I'm going to go to the Canobie Lake with my family. And there is a photo of him crammed, absolutely crammed into one of those flying rooster rides where his knee is up in his chin. And I just wonder if he said, this is what my life has become, just failure in a circle. I just did all his life as a flat circle of failure.
You know that his, like, wife and kid were like, because he's so utterly focused during the postseason.
Just like, get away from
it. Zdeno, when this ends, you're taking Rory to Canobie Lake. I don't care if you win or lose. You're taking him.
Yes, dear. I shall take him.
What about my mouth?
I will go, even go. I don't want to go in Rooster. I won't fit.
Zdeno, you promised.
I cannot fit cotton candy in my mouth. It is my son. What is the point?
Well, now the kid's older. You go sleepaway camp. Zdeno, two times.
But you know, that's, I guarantee you that's what happened. Because he was at Canobie Lake Park the day after they lost in 2013.
It was almost shocking, and it was jarring how quick it was.
Well, no, because I guarantee you, like everyone else, like he had completely been away from his family for like 2 months.
And was just like, I want to do something. Or the family's like, let's just do not hockey.
No, the family was like, it's your, like, I know a fella went to rehab. I'm not lying. And when he came back, his wife was like, I'm going out of town because I had the kids for a month. And so I'm going to go out of town and you're going to take the kids.
She seems very supportive to her husband.
Well, she was. But nonetheless.
The minute he gets back home, he's like, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Bye.
Well, all I've thought about in my 45 days in rehab was seeing your beautiful face. See ya!
That's an extreme example. But you know that he had been, like, if you've been out of town for a long time, and then you come back in town, and they kind of push the kids on you. Yeah, I guarantee you.
They don't take the kid to Canobie.
Yes, dear.
You can't stay down. The kids can't stay down in the dumps.
All right, dear.
And the great thing is that they were
I got stuck on roof.
There were listeners who were sending us pictures of like selfies they were doing with Zdeno, and Zdeno was like, he was doing his best to try to smile, like, the day afterwards. He was very accommodating. As you know, Zdeno is a good guy to his fans. When people come up to him, he seems very nice. But, I mean, you want to talk about a punch in the gut. That was a bad loss. I mean, 2013 was just, it was shocking how fast
but
it happened.
But Ty's right. That was a far superior team that they lost to. Pat, go ahead.
Yeah, way better. The Blackhawks were way better. Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So, my take is this. First line was a no-show. They definitely could have played way better. The thing that killed Tuukka was the 4 shots, 2 goals. That was just tough to look at. And I'm gonna die to this. I think that layoff just took the wind out of their sails. That 2 weeks layoff was just not good for this team. They were cruising, and then to sit around for 2 weeks, I think, killed them.
How long? But wasn't the Blues like 6-7 days?
6 days.
Yeah, 6 days.
They finished shortly after the Bruins did. It wasn't too long after. I think I would buy into the layout thing, but the layoff, but they won game one. You know, that, and they won. They had a 2-1 lead. You know, so it is. He's right about it being the first line, the no show. It's just that is, at the end of the day, that's what killed you. When their best forward played up to his standards, neither of your three guys matched it, and that's what spelled the end for you.
Yeah, the hockey news is like rated players, and O'Reilly they have as a top 10 player,
like in the whole league.
Yeah,
that's excessive.
Yeah. They had him as a top 10. They had him ranked ahead of everyone on the Bruin.
Yeah, I actually did see that, and yes. I thought that was like a strange.
Yeah, it was like some metric that I didn't really understand.
Yeah,
but I don't understand metrics. We want to hear from Chief Wanamaker cheer.
Sure, why not?
Chief Wanamaker cheer as he goes into hiding in the off season. Chief Wanamaker cheer. Hello.
Hey, what's up, boys? No hiding from me, my friend.
I saw you last night out of the streets. Many people asking for autographs.
No, they're mostly photos. I had a lot of videos and photos. And speaking of which, anybody wants to send their photos, I'll post them on our website. So you just Google Chief Wanamaker Chair and I'll pop up.
You sound very chipper for being the day after the Stanley, with the Stanley, listen, losing Stanley Cup in Game 7.
He's enjoying this newfound fame.
Yeah, you know what? I know Xanadude personally. He'll get through this. I know the kid. He'll get through this. I still have to come to work every day. It doesn't matter whether these, you know, rich guys win the cup or not. It would have been nice. I really enjoyed everything that you guys brought to me over the last couple of weeks. It's been an amazing experience. Just wanted to call in and say thank you for that.
The ride was fun as hell. And from the beginning of the season, I'm kind of struggling with both of these things. No one in this room thought that they were going to play in the Stanley Cup final at the beginning of the season, correct? None of us?
I thought they were going to get killed by Tampa in round two.
Right, okay. However, once Tampa Bay was knocked out, we were like, well, this is the easiest road you could possibly imagine,
which is why it's hard to believe that this will happen again.
That's why I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
I think that's, at the end of the day, that's what I'm really angry about. Like, you had a road that didn't have Pittsburgh, Washington, Tampa, and you took care of Toronto. And not only that, you didn't. I don't think you faced the West best team either. I thought Vegas. I was like, oh, that'd be a really tough series, Vegas or San Jose. They'd be a fun series, but I thought they'd be really tough. You didn't get those guys. You got basically what was a hot team with a rookie goaltender and a interim head coach. And I thought that everything about that favored you. And at the end of the day, it didn't. And maybe I was wrong when I was sitting here saying the Blues aren't that special. I just think that at the end of the day, the Bruins did not play to their standard.
Why can't they do it again next year? You seem very, very much that this was it. This was their only shot. I know it's tough to obviously repeat, and even if they didn't win it, just you went seven games. It's a beating. But why do you think this is it?
So we've talked about this before, right, where I believe the Bruins had a two-year window to buy and buy big. They did it with Rick Nash 2 years ago. This past year was Coyle and Johansson. They're not going to be able to keep Johansson, in my opinion. His price went through the roof in the playoffs. You have to re-sign McAvoy. You have to re-sign Carlo, Heinen. You got to make decisions on a few of your other players that are free agents.
Krug.
Yeah, Krug. You got to decide what you're doing there. Are you trading him? Are you extending him? I just think it's unlikely. I don't think it's likely that – I look at Florida. That's a team that if they add a free agent, which they're poised to do with the cap space they have, now that's a dangerous team. You're talking about Buffalo has been in a rebuild.
How about Toronto as they get older?
Toronto's probably going to trade one of these high impact forwards for a defenseman, which they actually need. Like they really do need that. So
how about your Don Sweeney? What do you do? Like, what are you going to do this offseason?
You got to figure out a long term plan because you, like Ty says, I mean, you have all this young talent that's coming home to roost. And so you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do.
Well, what do you
agree,
do?
Right?
As far as like Krug is concerned, like these decisions that have to be made.
Well, I mean, if you want to keep the guys that you have, I mean, you're not going to be able to keep Krug.
You can't. I mean, Krug's 28. He's got one big contract left in him. This is it. He's got one chance to strike. He hasn't ever played better than he's playing now. Yes. And he's got 1 year left on his contract. I think you have to deal him. You're never going to re-sign him.
You can't afford him.
And unless you maximize the return with a talented natural right winger, it's not worth it, in my opinion, because I think he you're a power play team. I mean, this kind of proved it, right? This whole postseason proved it. You're a power play team. You need the power play. You need that quarterback out there. And I think he's really good at that. So you got to move Backus. I don't know how you do it.
They're going to have to. They might have to Seidenberg him. They might have to, you know, eat some money.
So buying him out is disastrous.
Yes. It
makes no sense. So they're going to have to trade him. But what do you staple to it?
Well, that's the thing.
Is prospect.
Well, disastrous. Well, what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to give up to get a team to take him? You're going to have to give up a lot.
And he probably still has control over where he goes.
That's right. Maybe you would staple one of those many defensemen you have in the minors to do that.
But who wants that?
You know, I don't know. Yeah. Hey, look.
I think you're going to have to buy him out.
Backus is a tough sell. It is. Getting rid of him is going to be next to impossible.
Unless there's a team that needs to add cap, you know, like I brought up Arizona, it seems like they're always...
Get above the floor.
It seems like they have to get above the floor. But, That's the one thing
you have that's young that you have a surplus of. You have a surplus of young defensemen.
I don't think that you're taking on $6 million for 2 years for an unproven commodity.
I mean, and that's the problem, right? It's that it all depends. Like, if these guys, if Carlo and McAvoy make what they should make on long-term deals, I mean, you're up against it. You're really up against the cap here. Now you have almost no wiggle room if you can't find a suitor for David Backes and if the return for Krug is not what it should be. I think it sends a bad message to that room if you trade Torrey Krug and don't get something that helps you right now.
Right.
I think because you're trying to win now.
Yeah, you're talking about the window. That's a good point that I didn't think of, is that there is that option of just keeping Krug for the season, which may be what I'd want to do.
I mean, it makes the most sense, right? If you're trying to win, you're a better team with Torrey Krug on it. And yeah, I think this postseason kind
right.
of proved it.
I think you're right.
The window you have with this aging core, I mean, we were talking about it off air. Krejci has 2 years left on his contract. Bergeron has three. And they're not going to make nearly as much money after this as they are now. So you figure the window is 2 years most, correct?
Yeah. I mean,
you got to get whatever you get done in the next 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more like a year, maybe.
I really do. I mean, Chara is a 43-year-old top-pairing defenseman next playoff.
Making $2 million.
No, his contract's fine.
What I'm saying is he's aging out. He's already aged out.
So here's the deal. Is you probably have a year with this core, and then there's that turnover where McAvoy and Carlo and Pastrnak are the veterans, and DeBrusque is one of the veterans. So
DeBrusque, by the way, up after next year, right?
Yeah. So
that's got to be a bridge deal with him.
I mean, maybe
restricted free agent after next year.
He had almost 30 goals this year. I mean, that's a big one.
That's one of my bitches. All right. All right. No, that was a robocall. All right. Ty Anderson, it's been a pleasure, sir. Young up-and-coming talent here at the radio station.
What are you writing about today?
Sadness. It's like just crippling sadness.
Misery. No sleep.
I'm so tired. And, we got a bunch of stuff. Pretty much some stuff we've talked about today. The Bergeron line. Tuukka, I thought they he deserved better than what he got from his teammates in Game 7. Just a few of those things and writing about grown men crying in the locker room, of which I was one, probably.
But we did not. Real quick, you did see the locker room, and people are saying it was – did we talk about this already, or was it off-air?
No, off-air.
And it was one of the most somber locker rooms that people have seen, people who've been covering sports for a long time.
Yeah, it absolutely was. It was tough, man. I multiple players crying, just at least five or six. And DeBrusque was sitting there in full gear still, 20 minutes after the game ended, full gear with his head in his hands, just not, basically unresponsive, just no one could really talk to him. And you understand it for these kids. I mean, they might not get back here, and they understand how difficult it is, especially the younger guys, because I think his Bergeron kind of reminded them that in Game 6, saying, hey, we might not be here again. So it hit them. It hit them all hard, and it's understandable. I mean, this team was really close. This was, and I've said this before, this team this year was the closest Bruins team I've covered, and I've been doing this since 2010. So it was really, it was tough to see that. And at the end of the day, I mean, they really only have themselves to blame for it. So, but a lot of emotion in that locker room. I haven't been a part of a locker room like that, and ever, I would say. 2013 was close, but this seemed worse.
We were talking about Bergeron and how the groin always seems to be a consistent problem. And someone emailed me and said, the groin can be something that you never quite get rid of. And he said, that's what you get for signing Jágr to a short-term deal.
Mm. The groin problems.
Yeah. Is you got to build up the groin to make the push.
I know this is about
Adrian Zmed. Look at this guy. He can't even handle it. He's got a groin. Oh, I pulled my groin. Oh, yeah, like I'm Mick Pregnant. Yes, Ty.
I know we were saying that, you're talking about the core. Why don't I think they can do it? They don't have someone who can ease Bergeron's minutes. That's a big thing, too.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I say, okay, who's the center that's coming up that's going to make it so he's not tearing his groin every year in the postseason? Mm-hmm. Where does he get the relief there? Corrali was great at it. Corrali started almost all the shifts in the defensive zone. He's been good at it. You need more than that, though. And so
Corrali was one of the best players this postseason.
He absolutely was. I think that fourth line, again, was their best line in this round, which is not saying a lot, I know.
Yeah.
But he's great, man. And he's a sled dog out there, they call him. And he drives the play, and he's got such a motor. But he's better in short bursts than he is the Bergeron 18-minute kind of night. So who comes in and helps that out? I don't know if they have a center prospect who does that. So that's something worth watching, too. Bergeron's going to be 35 soon. Can you really rely on him to be 80 points but also the best shutdown center in the league? That's hard. It's a lot of minutes at that age. So that's somebody I'm worried about, too.
you know, guys, just put on Europe, Sherry.
Carrie.
Carrie. Just get in the Camaro and make get on the Ninja. Sherry.
Carrie.
Carrie. Things, they change, my friend. All right, Ty. Thank you so much for all your help over this season, and we look forward to hearing you on the air more and more.
Maybe me and you some summer pinch hitting.
I think that you are going to be on the air with me a lot, my friend, because I ain't going nowhere for a couple months, unfortunately. So I think Ty and I will be doing several shows together. All right, Ty, thank you so much. Let's do some non-sports stuff here. Just take a little break mentally, and here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Do you like to watch?
The answer is certainly.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It's behind TikTok, Google, Reddit, Tumblr, WeChat, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
Oh, Twitter?
Yeah.
See, I couldn't tell you what TikTok is at all, though.
Oh, your kids don't play with TikTok?
What is it?
You make little short videos, and then you share it with your friends.
Isn't that what was the one that used to be out there?
Oh, Vimeo? Or
Yeah, like Vimeo. No, is that
not Vimeo. I don't know. Viewfinder.
You can only put like 10-second videos up, and it ended up getting bought out by Facebook. I forget what it was called.
TikTok is the jam. It's all my daughter does. Is she goes on TikTok. Vine is what.
Vine, that's the one.
Vine was the one.
And that got bought out. I mean, is it exactly like Vine?
I never experienced Vine, but these are, all I know is that my daughter plays songs in the background and then lip syncs them and then sends them to her friends.
I'll tell you what's creepy. You want to talk about like stuff that's like on the internet now and everything. I have a friend of mine who told me that he had to do a job interview recently, and his interview was done over the computer, and they're apparently recording his face and using these new algorithms to measure your facial expressions to find out whether you're trustworthy or not by how you answer.
Listen, that's a good way to do business.
Have you heard about this? This is apparently happening in a lot of different companies.
Well, I had a guy in business class or whatever in high school that said that GM, if you would put that's mine. No, you can have it. Is that GM when you if you seasoned your food before you ate it, that they wouldn't hire you because you were just doing things out of habit or something like that.
Well, this is different than the one with the facial recognition, but my mother-in-law, she's a teacher, and she went to go move to other schools, and she said that she had to do it's like a video interview, but it's weird. What they'll do is they'll give you the question they want to ask you, like, what annoyed you about your last job? And then it gives you one 3-minute period in which you can record something that they won't take. It's a practice, and you get to see yourself on the screen and you answer it, and then after you record it, you press it, goes, okay, now the real one. So you wonder not whether they're just keeping that, like were they just on their honor not going to keep the original one? And then you have to sit there, and while you're recording it, it's got this little timer at the bottom that's counting you down as to how much time you need to fill with the answer. Dude, first of all, how ridiculous, how stressful, and this whole thing about reading, has anybody had this before? With the facial recognition thing, because
that just seems like the worst way to weed out people. Like,
what if you're born with like resting, you know, bitch face? You know, where you just
what if you're like a non-traditional learner, or you're someone who's like brilliant in a certain way, but your face, like, it's like judging someone's intelligence based on, you know, some arbitrary thing.
Or how weird is it just that they say, send us a video of yourself before we consider you? Because, I mean, what's to keep them from saying, we don't want black people?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it just seems like...
No we fatsos. To,
well, there's other companies I've heard stories of where you send them a selfie and you send it in before you get the interview, which that seems more than anything like, you know, any kind of road to discrimination just it's by like, looking at someone whether they want you or not.
It's like getting in my van, no fat chicks.
I mean, honestly, what if you've got like a tick or something? Like you do something with your eye, you know, and like, what's that going to read? Like immediately it's like somebody winking at me as if he's being wildly sarcastic with all his remarks. So it's going to count everything that you say as being wrong or dishonest.
It's just like, it's putting people in a box. Like everyone that's going to be successful is exactly the same, which is absolutely not true. It's like hiring someone based on their SAT score.
Well, that's also something that you would think that could easily be hacked, right?
Yeah.
Like if you knew what they were looking for, like your cheekbones stay up. You just, like, answer with, like, you know, the open mouth, and you're constantly smiling.
Why don't they just do that to F with you?
That's kind of a crappy way to start your job.
I know a guy who works for Google, and they said, like, if you were a rock in a blender, how would you get out?
Oh, well, I mean, that's, like, that's an old thing. I think that was even that made it into that movie that had Vince Vaughn in it about being the intern or something like that.
I never really... ventured into that film.
So
somehow
I
missed that one.
That just seems, you mentioned that, it reminded me of a conversation. Yeah, that seems like somewhat terrifying. Well, the Celtics have got some weird stuff going on right now. It seems like both they and the Lakers are trying to fight for the honor to court Mr. Anthony Davis. And here's a belief, it's out there. So the Lakers have apparently offered up Lonzo Ball. Who else? The fourth, Brandon Ingram. And the fourth pick in the draft.
Of a draft that's 2.5, maybe 3 deep.
Yep. And the Pelicans are saying, not enough. We want to have Kyle Kuzma as well. And apparently they're going to the Celtics too. I think, if you had to ask me, I got this weird feeling that maybe the Celtics are just in this to F the Lakers.
No. They want Anthony Davis.
Well, I know that Kyrie Irving just left his agent and signed with a new one, Rocka, you know, the one with Jay-Z.
Rock Nation.
And I guess there's different time tie-ins with the Brooklyn Nets, and I know he wants to go to the Brooklyn Nets. But I guess that he is saying that one of the teams that are still on his list that he might want to sign with, the Celtics are still on there.
I think the Celtics are all in on trying to get Kyrie Irving back. They're going to offer him a max deal, and they're going to try and make the Anthony Davis deal as well. The problem is... in order to make the Anthony Davis deal, they have to trade all their picks or at least one or two of their picks coming up with this particular draft. And the draft takes place before free agency begins. So there's like that week lag time. The draft is a week from tonight. Free agency isn't until the beginning of next month. So it's a delicate balance. Danny Ainge has quite a dance to dance here in the next 2 weeks.
I have a weird...
But I think he's supremely confident and is going to go all in on both.
I have a horrible feeling that this thing with Kawhi Leonard and them almost winning a championship or winning a championship ultimately is going to completely F up the chance of just the Celtics letting the young guys grow. I think that they're going to say, well, look, they threw everything in. They traded a ton to get Kawhi Leonard for 1 year, and look, they won a championship.
But it was different. It was different for Toronto. Toronto had to deal one player to get Kawhi. And in the end, they dealt a player who wasn't as good as the player they got back. This is a completely different type of deal.
And remember how everyone said how unloyal that the Toronto was?
Yeah, yeah. And Masai Ujiri said, eat it, we're going to win a championship.
All right. I just got a nice massage from Scott Zolak.
Nice. It looked like you were enjoying that.
I was enjoying it.
Nice.
He's good at it.
Yeah, well, he constantly wants to do it.
It wasn't.
It
painful.
Happens maybe 7-8 times a year he comes in here and wants to do it. Yeah. Most times you say no.
I want to love anything as much as Scott Zolak likes being on our Twitch feed.
That's a good point.
But he wasn't rough today. Today was a nice one.
Oh, it's tender.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was a little tender.
He's got the touch.
All right, so we'll be back. We'll find out. We'll talk. Well, I know what you're going to talk about, but we'll talk to Zolak and Bertrand coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Scott Zolak, very tender massage today. Thank you.
Yeah, you need it today.
Did I seem tense, as usual?
You're pretty tied up, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's a little tense.
Way to get weird yesterday, Rich.
That was funny.
Something to be proud of.
There's nothing better than that back shot of the Felger Amonte pregame show.
Yes.
They didn't just let anyone in there.
Yeah. Well, creepy pervy guy.
Where did they do that?
Outside the
They do it in the okay, so you know where the loge section is, the TD Garden?
Yeah.
It's like it's not the regular studio. You have to have a ticket.
No, not regular studio. They have like a desk set up, right?
Yeah, they do, but it's like kind of where that huge bar is that is near the end of the ring there.
Okay.
The rink. And that's where it was. And just anyone could walk up. And I just thought I'd stand there.
Just stand there and throw ice.
They'll escort you out.
They won't know. They wouldn't know. I'd flip it. You got to be creative.
I'm not saying,
hey, dump ice on their head.
It's just a little flick from behind the scenes behind Amonte. Yeah. Amonte just has flop sweats. Yeah. He's not going to know.
Doesn't care anymore. It's great.
I like Amonte.
I respect that.
I'd like to go out with Amonte. He's the kind of guy I think would be a lot of fun.
Or it could go sideways quick.
Sure. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. Yeah.
What's your strange friend's name that left your party?
Oh, Fierce?
Fierce. It reminds me of Fierce.
Fierce is
like,
awesome.
Like, put those two together, and it's like, he may have magic.
Fierce was at, like, some 5-star resort in Vietnam by himself.
He didn't have to go there for business? He just went?
Dude, what do I know? He does stuff with the military.
You know way better than I do. I'm just asking.
No, he does stuff with the military. I like sells weapons and stuff. I have no idea what he
sells weapons.
Yeah,
in Vietnam, apparently
he sells weapons to the military. I mean, it's legal. I mean, okay. He works for a company that sells military stuff. So
he is something else. That guy.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you wake up and you do 2 shots of bourbon to figure out if you can come in the studio with me.
Yeah.
Nope. he pours 2 shots and he goes, All right, so a rough day, Mr. Zola.
How you feeling this morning?
I'm just glad I didn't go into the game. I'm glad. I mean, I was actually contemplating going. Because, like, God forbid, Game 7 at home, you miss it. I'm glad I didn't go in. Yeah, I was.
Well, I mean, it was miserable.
He'll call me a liar, but yeah, then I'm like, you know what? The time invested to do it. We're there all day. The fact Mark Jamelli showed up.
Oh, yeah. Did you talk to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you never put the body with the voice, ever. Stunning.
Oh, see, he looks exactly like I assumed.
It
makes him even better.
I thought he would look like Danny DeVito, but like short and just like skinny old guy. Hey.
See, I didn't imagine him looking like that. But
I didn't expect him to look like that.
Okay.
He looks like he's running numbers down at the Italian men's club.
I know, Mr. Odd Nicholas. I had them at -8.5. Give me the hundreds.
I inherited a home in the North End.
Did he ever spend some time down at the racetrack there, Nick? Yeah. Of course he did. Yeah.
I used to tell her I was in Chicago when I would be there in the North End.
Jesus.
Oh, wait, he offered you a place to stay?
Yeah, he said if I ever get too banged up, if I'm out in town, if I need a place to crash, sleep in my recliner.
Nice.
I said, it's very kind of you.
The best
I'm
not
like a cab right away. I'll be fine.
Bertrand, just come in. Come on. Let me tuck you in.
Maybe I can pretend you're my son instead.
Finally a success. You know, I have a daughter that's on Broadway.
Like, what's
her I love.
Died.
Her I love. Nicholas, you're just someone whose shoulders I step on to get to the top.
All right. So, you guys enjoy yourself.
Okay. We'll keep it rolling here.
This will not feel like a long show at all.
No.
It's
going to go lickety-split.
Good for you.
It's going to go lickety-split. All right. Zoe and Beetle coming up. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.